the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, apologies. Very good morning. How are you doing?
I was enjoying a caramella very much. Very nice, upbeat tune for this time of the morning.
Yeah, it really
and,
is.
I was thinking about some of the people on the roads at the moment. Israel's introduced these new carpool lanes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lane that's dedicated on the highway to people with either, it depends on the road, but generally speaking with two or more passengers in the car. So you can only travel in that particular lane on the highway if you've got two or more passengers in your car. If you're driving alone, for example, then you have to be in the jammed up lanes. It's kind of like a public transport lane, which we've had for some time, except it's also open to people with more passengers to try and encourage people to carpool and to car share. And it's been an unadulterated disaster. It's caused untold traffic jams. It's lengthened travel times. The city of Netanya has become an absolute hellhole because people who are trying to avoid these carpool lanes are driving through Netanya, through the city itself, from the north to the south in order to try and bypass the highway. Would you believe they're trying to bypass the highway so that they don't have to suffer with these carpool lanes? So this is going to be a very interesting thing to see how the authorities respond to this. It's really, really been a disaster.
Anthony, you know, they tried that similarly in Los Angeles for a while, and they found that people used inflatable dolls that they stuck into their passenger seats and back seats. Because they had cameras to check you had more than one person in the car. So the sales of inflatable dolls soared tremendously.
We don't want to talk too much about what was going on in those cars, Howard, but I've heard the story. And I've also heard that the police use the inflatable dolls as well. They park these police cars on the side of the road with an inflatable policeman in the
car.
I
have heard that.
And so then you have the inflatable policeman watching the inflatable doll and everybody seems to be happy enough, right?
The world of the virtual world that we are now living in. All right, let's talk about strange things. Where are we with this coalition? Can we get an update, please?
Well, the latest that we're hearing is not about forming coalitions, but rather apparently internal fighting within the Kahol Lavan party, where there seem to be a number of differences of opinion. Let's not forget that Kahol Lavan is constituted of different parties that have come together, headed respectively by Benny Gantz and Yair Lapid. They've joined together. They don't necessarily present very comfortable bedmates. I have to say that if I was a betting person before this unification took place, then I would not have bet that they would have done so, because they do seem to be coming from different places, but yet each of them clearly has something to offer to the other. And so at least for the moment, it seems to have been a relatively successful amalgamation coming together of people and ideas. But of course, they haven't had the chance yet to put their policies into practice and to really govern. And that, I think, is going to be the true test of Kahol Lavan if eventually they get the opportunity to do that. And right now, we're seeing some of those conflicts within the party come to the fore, because there is this discussion as to whether Kahol Lavan should actually form a minority government and rely upon the support of the Joint Arab List members of Knesset to support them from outside of the coalition. Now, when I did the last count up, even that didn't represent a majority of 61 seats, but apparently there is a lot of disagreement within Kahol Lavan as to whether they can really rely upon the Joint Arab List to support them, even if it's from outside of the coalition. There is a huge dilemma that goes on with this particular issue. And I think that you'll find such a dilemma probably represents a dilemma within Israel itself. On the one hand, we do want to embrace Arab citizens of Israel. They do have the right to vote, and we do respect their representatives in the Knesset. On the other hand, we've had this problem where even members of the Knesset members that represent the Arab party have not shown themselves to be loyal to Israel. And that does represent a huge dilemma and a huge point of discussion for our country about our democracy and how we embrace the Arab minority to make them feel as if they have equal say, but that they also have equal obligations.
Right, and which of course is what the struggle has been for many years. Very interesting indeed. The Minister of Justice yesterday launched an unprecedented attack on his department. What was the reason for this attack?
wow, this was really crazy. This was something that took me by surprise. Justice, Minister of Justice Amir Ohana, he had a press conference yesterday, and he launched this massive attack on the state attorney's office, including the attorney general, claiming that they had been responsible for numerous leaks in relation to the legal investigation that's being carried out at the moment against Prime Minister Netanyahu. And that really was what this was all about, is about that legal process that's going on against Prime Minister Netanyahu. And you have to wonder how this was allowed to happen, that the Minister of Justice, who's effectively responsible, he's the political head who's responsible for that department, the State Attorney's Office and the Attorney General, fall to some degree under his area of responsibility, and he stands up at a press conference and launches this amazing tirade against them, accusing them of political motivations and of having a prosecutor's office within the prosecutor's office. So there seems to be, you know, he seemed to insinuate that there's a group of people who might be working against the system in order to somehow try and take the Prime Minister down. And I mean, and really, this is what it all was all about, that he was claiming that as a result of these leaks and as a result of this bad behavior within the Ministry of Justice's overall area of responsibility, that this is really conducting a political campaign against the Prime Minister in an attempt to try and unseat him. And I just think that the whole thing was kind of really unpalatable for me. I found it very, very difficult to swallow, because if he indeed is the responsible minister, which of course he is, then he should go to that office and he should say, I don't like what I'm seeing here, and I don't like the way that people are behaving, and I don't, you know, agree with the processes that are being used or whatever, and then make the necessary changes if that's what he needs to do, rather than stand up in public and really accuse individuals. The problem, of course, is that the job of the Attorney General is one which is slightly even beyond what he is able to control at the moment, because if he was seen to try to militate a change of the Attorney General at this very, very sensitive stage in those legal proceedings against the Prime Minister, that would clearly be regarded as a political motive and would be clearly be seen negatively, I think, by the general public. So there is this real issue where the Prime Minister is fighting against the legal department, the Ministry of Justice, effectively, the Prosecutor's Office and the Attorney General, in terms of the legal investigation that they're conducting against him, not only about the way in which the investigation is being done, but now they're being accused of these leaks to the press, which they claim are not part of the legal process. And he's now also got the support of the Minister of Justice. So this seems to me to be really, really crazy. And I've not seen this happen before anywhere else, where a minister takes this huge flying attack at members of his own department for which he's responsible in the government. That seems just to be the craziest thing to me.
Wow, really, really unbelievable. And finally, Israeli security experts are keeping an eye on the situation that's on the northern border, and that's after the Prime Minister of Lebanon resigned. How likely is this to spill over to onto the Israeli side of the border, or to the situation there?
Yeah, I mean, people have differing opinions about that. There's clearly chaos in Lebanon at the moment. And when there's chaos going on in a neighboring country, that's never going to be a good thing. And particularly when in that neighboring country, the strongest force that exists in that country is, of course, Hezbollah, which is a terror organization that is intent upon the destruction of Israel. I mean, they make no qualms about that. They are not embarrassed about that whenever and Nasrallah comes out, Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, whenever he makes these public appearances or these televised appearances from time to time, he always makes sure to confirm and to just reiterate the fact that he is absolutely intent on destroying Israel. And so with all the chaos that's going on within the Lebanese political sphere, of course, it does mean that this gives a lot of strength to Hezbollah, or more strength. I mean, there can be no doubt that Hezbollah is the strongest military faction in Lebanon, but it also, to some degree, offers them some military, some political strength. And this is what's concerning people in Israel, and that's why things are being looked at very, very carefully from the Israeli side of the border, just to make sure that Hezbollah don't take this opportunity to potentially make their presence felt and to potentially launch some sort of an attack against Israel, which is not beyond the realms of possibility. But I think what's most interesting about the resignation of Prime Minister, the Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri, is the fact that this really gives strength to Iran in Lebanon. And that, of course, is really, really concerning, not potentially now for the next few days or even for the next few weeks, but that strength that Iran has could really come out to play in the future, in the longer term future. And that, of course, is hugely concerning. We know that Iran has been doing everything that it can to establish strong presences, strong bases alongside the Israeli border, whether it be in Syria or in Lebanon or anywhere else. They're trying to establish permanent locations, places where they can load, they can store weapons, they can store ammunition, places even where they can do manufacturing, where they can launch attacks towards Israel. And that's clearly very, very concerning indeed. So for now, we're going to watch to see how the whole political chaos in Lebanon sorts itself out. We do know that there's a huge amount of conflict in Lebanon between the Sunni and the Shia and the Druze and the Christians, lots and lots of factional conflict going on there. We know that Hezbollah will certainly be making themselves felt in terms of their policies, in terms of their military strength, in terms of what they see as that what they want for the future of Lebanon. And we just hope that that won't spill over. As I said, there are differing views from the Israeli security area. Some think that Hezbollah will take advantage of the situation and potentially launch an attack towards Israel. Some people have a differing view on that. But what seems to be unanimously agreed amongst everybody is that this is just great news for Iran, and Iran are really going to take advantage of this. So, again, this is something that's going to be watched pretty carefully over the next few days and weeks. And we certainly hope that some sort of a good government will be formed in Lebanon and potentially one in Israel, too, at the same time. Just while we're already talking about the
absolutely. Whilst we're doing it, we can get two for the price of one. Yeah.
Yeah. We might as well just, you know, form a government in both countries and let's just get on and rule things. So, yeah, I mean, for now, at least, you know, the instability in Lebanon is certainly concerning. And, you know, obviously the IDF are very much on their guard at the moment in the north, just to keep an eye on things.
And certainly, Raf, before I let you go, we do, you know, I have noted that we don't have your predicted score for Saturday's World Cup final.
Good question. I have to say that on the strength of the semi-finals, I was feeling less optimistic about the box chances, and I felt that England did a really great job in defeating the All Blacks. But I'm still going to support the box on this occasion. I'm going to go 15-9 to the box.
15-9 to the box. All right, Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place. See you then. It's 8 o'clock. Here's your news.